This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour two, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. C-Notes coming up at 3:20. We'll take a look at the top takeaways here from yesterday's Cowboys game. Last Flagtober stop of the season is coming up Wednesday at Whataburger off 161 in Grand Prairie. Your last chance to get that iconic Whataburger 2024 flag. Time now for your NFL news of the day, and here's Wolchek.
All right, we'll start Cowboys. We were talking about Kevontae Turpin little bit ago, and he didn't have a great response to Troy Aikman last week criticizing the wide receivers. Well, over the weekend, CeeDee Lamb did sit down with Jason Garrett of NBC, part of their coverage, and Garrett and CeeDee talked about Troy Aikman's comments, and here was CeeDee's reaction to it.
Well, every coach, every team, guys talk about eliminating the noise. Mm-hmm. You try to do that. Focus. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you what the noise is. One of the greatest players in this organization's history, Troy Aikman, comes out and says, the Cowboys wide receivers don't run good routes. CeeDee Lamb's got to get off the ball better. When you hear that noise, how does that land on you and the group?
Me as a leader, obviously, I take it in. And we got to work. That's just more, I use it as a building block. Like if you say that our routes are lazy, things of that sort, let's go out here every week and I'm going to show you that my route, you know. So personally, I take that as, again, constructive criticism. You can't really take everything personal in this realm of work that we do, especially some things that we can control. So if we can control it, let's go out here, work at it, and continue to get better at it. You know, so for me, I go work. I'm a hard worker. You know what I'm saying? So anything that you say that I'm not doing, I'm going to show you that I am doing it.
So you're motivated by the noise.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No
that's
doubt.
Great. That is great. It's a great way to take it.
Just give him the hate smile.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
You're motivated.
Yeah, you're motivated.
Your Jason Garrett has a little Lee Steinberg to it.
They got a little bit of together.
Their smiles are similar.
Yeah, Garrett was really good at like smiling at you and yelling at you at the same time. Like you knew you could tell.
Yeah,
yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. You're trying to get me fired.
SOB.
Yeah,
I love you, but I hate you.
Exactly.
And CeeDee certainly went out, played well, but it just, you know, that's the difference, I guess. It's just funny that he was talking about that and the outside noise is what Garrett's thought. Like CeeDee hadn't already heard it. He didn't need to be told what Aikman said. I'm sure CeeDee really knew. And then immediately after the game, you get the Trayvon Diggs response to the Mike Leslie deal, where he just goes right up to Mike Leslie and, you know, he's nuts, bro.
I think Garrett is outstanding at this, though. I mean, that's not an easy question to ask. I think he's killing it, you know. I don't know how good of a football coach Garrett would be. Obviously, he didn't do a great job with the Cowboys.
Or the Giants.
He might have been the worst OC that year.
That was bad.
No doubt. But I think he's fantastic in this line of work. Like, the longer he goes, I think he's getting more comfortable. He's got a great voice, great confidence, and I don't know, maybe that's just exactly his perfect spot in the NFL. I thought he was a, you know, pretty good scout as well. He helped the Cowboys find a number of good players.
As far away from the sideline as possible.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. He's not even on site with, like, Rodney Harrison and coming. They got him back in studio. Like, we don't need you at the stadium. Just
do the package every week, the interview.
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of feel like, though, if they've got you hanging out in the studio, you're an important person.
Oh, you're more important? I thought if you were on location, you became more important than the guys in studio.
I think they're trying to eliminate the number of opportunities you get by putting you on the road.
Trying to trim the fat a little bit.
Yeah, like they're always...
Get a couple of segments here and there.
They're always going to, let's go to Rodney as he interviews somebody. And that's kind of like the only segment.
And that's all we'll be seeing of Rodney tonight. Thanks, Rodney.
Yeah, thanks, Rodney.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Rodney did a good job with us yesterday.
Great job with us.
Good job, Rodney. Then there was the craziness that happened in Indianapolis, back and forth game, Texans and Colts, but there was a
moment. How about the witching hour in general, dude?
The witching hour was an MVP yesterday. Leading into Halloween,
it
did not miss.
Like, I got tired, Wolchek.
Yeah, so Anthony Richardson pulled a move that I personally had never seen before.
This
is incredible.
In professional football. Like, I've seen this happen in high school, but Anthony Richardson is running around there in the red zone. A second down play has just happened, and he taps the side of the helmet, which universally in the football world is like, I'm out. I'm tapping out.
I'm banged up.
I'm hurt. Something's going on. Joe Flacco, get in here. So now Flacco runs into the game, hands it off to Jonathan Taylor on third and goal from the 23. Taylor gets 5 yards. Colts settled for a 37-yard field goal. After the game, Anthony Richardson asks, like, what happened, man? Everything okay?
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, this whole thing, I just needed a break right there.
I ain't gonna lie. I kind of wish you would have. That's one of those. Just go ahead and chalk that one up for. I got a lie here.
Oh my gosh.
It's a tough thing to, especially after the half that he had. What was he, 2 for 15 for 80 yards in the first half?
Yeah, he finished 10 of 32. For 175 yards, a touchdown, an interception, and 5 sacks.
The numbers on him are bordering on, as Brad Sham would say, unprofessional.
I mean, it's like Jamarcus Russell type of bad when it comes to throwing the football.
Every graph you see of quarterbacks and where they're placed, he's on the far bottom left corner where there's just nothing good about the way this guy's doing it. I saw Austin Gale put something out where Anthony Richardson ranks 222nd in completion percentage among the 225 quarterbacks since the year 2000.
And who's the guy ahead of him? Ryan Leaf, right?
Yes.
Of the Cowboys.
Of the Cowboys. How funny is that, that it's the star as his...
And that was terrible. I remember watching Ryan Leaf play with the Cowboys. That wasn't fun. Okay. Ryan, I know you remember that.
Too well.
That was brutal.
I have the three quarterbacks who have been worse from a completion percentage standpoint since 2000 than Anthony Richardson. There's three of them. Tim Tebow is one.
Oh, gosh.
Not surprising at all. Mike McMahon of the Filthy Eagles is second to last. And your dead ball's last worst completion percentage since the year 2000 is Akili Smith.
Oh, the company that he's in here, bad. Bad.
Jamarcus Russell was better.
Jeez.
Curtis Painter was better. It's been really bad, but I've never seen the tap out thing. I've never seen that. I'm so tired.
It's a bad move. And now the Colts are evaluating everything since he's been struggling. Do they go back to Flacco? What are they doing here? He's still in line to start Sunday night against Minnesota. But Shane Steichen, I mean, for the locker room, when your quarterback's tapping out on a third down play at the 23-yard line, you're trying to put up points. I mean, and yeah, somebody just texted in, like, Donovan McNabb was puking in the huddle during the Super Bowl.
But that was just beer, you know.
Just beer. Just sweat.
That wasn't actually exhausted from doing anything.
It's a bad look. Can you imagine if Dak Prescott did this?
Anthony Richardson was at least running around.
I think there's something to be said for it's more like a running back, you know, every time he snaps the ball.
Yeah.
It's a scramble. It's a run. It's a...
seeking contact.
Running for my life. Yeah, you know, it's just totally different than any quarterback. I can't remember it happening either, but... You know, and the other thing is when you're getting chased like that, the adrenaline kicks in, makes it harder to breathe. I don't know. I'm making excuses.
So he's a pro athlete.
So I just told Shane I needed a break right there.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to call a run play. So can you just
hand
the ball off?
Do they have break rooms in NFL stadiums? They have break rooms?
What the hell is going on?
Do we have breather rooms?
In the blue tent, he could have gone and sat in there for a little bit. Put the blue tent up.
Oxygen mask.
Samuel, yeah, he's out there running around. He just had pneumonia.
What would you have said there if you're him? Because I was just going to go, had the wind knocked out of me.
That's perfect. You
know? I would have gone right into the blue tent.
Wind knocked out. Yes, you go right to the blue tent.
Sit there for a couple breaths. Yeah,
okay.
And come back.
Yeah. He's asked the doc if there's anything you can do for the chronic vaginitis that you have, and then he'll say no, and then you'll just trot back onto the field and lose the football game.
What? Okay, he had 17 attempts against zone coverage. I was just looking at his numbers. It's wild.
He was 10 of 32.
Okay, what do you think his numbers were against zone coverage? You should be able to complete passes against zone coverage,
I'll
right?
say he completed four of his 10 balls on the day.
He had 17 attempts against zone coverage.
Four of 17.
Five.
Five of 17 for 48 yards.
It's big time.
Yeah.
How many rushing yards did he even have?
It's so funny.
I mean, he was running around a lot,
so he was super duper tired.
It's the only one he's got is just a run.
Over 10 air yards, he was 4 of 20 for 120. How about that?
I mean, that play told me, I mean, I've seen enough. I'm good here.
There you go.
I think we know you're not the franchise quarterback that we were hoping you would be.
And that's why you just keep playing him. You don't do the Flacco thing. You keep playing him. This is the boom or bust factor. It's almost better this way. It's like either be awesome or be terrible and lead me to my next top five pick here.
Yeah.
We will suck so bad this year, we'll draft your replacement right now.
Yeah.
We really don't want to make a Daniel Jones mistake.
Yeah,
so
we're not going to give you a bit yet. We're just moving on. The other thing that was just, what the hell are you doing on the football weekend? Tyreek Stevenson. Okay, amazingness that happens at the end of this game.
Well
Commandos
said, yes.
And the Bears. Incredible moment. Jaden Daniels goes ahead, hits scary Terry McLaurin. They're set up for a Hail Mary.
On Stevenson, by the way.
Yeah.
That play is on Stevenson.
Yeah. So
if he was Anthony Richardson, he'd have been way too tired to throw that ball.
He'd been running around too
much. I think he ran 41 yards before chucking it.
He would have tapped himself out. Mariota would have had to throw the ball. You're right. Absolutely. But so now they throw the Hail Mary. It thwinks off Stevenson. It pops up in the air. And Noah Brown, former Cowboy, hallelujah, Commandos walk it off. But during the play, there is a video from a fan in the stands that is showing Tyreek Stevenson turned around, talking bleep to the fans there in Washington. Then he turns around. The receivers are already at the opposition's, 20-yard line? And now he's trying to chase and find, where's my guy? Where's my guy? Ends up locating the football, hits the football, tipped up in the air. Here comes the touchdown for Noah Brown. Really bad moment. He puts that on social media to Chicago and teammates. My apologies for lack of awareness and focus. The game ain't over until zeros hit the clock. Can't take anything for granted. Notes taken. Improvement will happen. Hashtag bear down.
I don't think his pre-celebration cost him the play, did it? He might have ended up in better position.
I don't know.
No, because he ends up running and being the one that tips the ball to the guy.
But he got his hands on it.
But I think Noah Brown was his guy, and Noah Brown's left behind him. Nobody's even covering him.
Let's go to the tape.
I'm watching the play here. I get what you are saying, Dawson. I imagine the play here brought us right is every defender has a guy. Like, somebody had to be on Noah Brown, and I'm assuming the guy who wasn't is the guy who was just chirping at the fans for the first half of the play after the snap.
I agree. I think Noah Brown was his dude.
It's a terrible look. It's an all-time, just a hilarious moment.
I think
moment.
He undercut the route. I think he was
did. He's the one who hits the ball that allows
he was
Noah
in the
Brown
front.
To,
he went to the front. If he's got Noah
bad DB hands, I think, is the ultimate culprit, as fun as the celebrating cause, the Hail Mary narrative. I don't think it took him out of position because he had so much time to run over there.
But 806 ever flips.
But I don't know.
You're
totally
right.
The TV
you
copy
right.
was weird. Yeah.
But the footage that you see, it's just hilarious.
It's hilarious. No, it is. Yeah.
The way that it all happened. But the Commanders get another win.
And if you didn't know any better, Dan Quinn just won the Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh, the reaction. And Caleb Williams, there's also like video of him watching the whole thing. But it was a historic last 30 seconds in NFL history. I mean, it was incredible what ended up happening with the Bears taking the lead.
The entire fourth quarter was ridiculous. They're handing it to an offensive lineman and fumbling at the goal line.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Was listening, I guess, to the pregame, and Chief gave it to the Bears. And then we went to break.
Yeah.
So did Tyreek Stevenson.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, there's 25 seconds left. I'm pretty sure the Commanders just lost.
You're in it together. Yeah, according to ESPN Stats and Info, Daniels' game-winning Hail Mary made Commanders-Bears the first game since 1977 where each team scored go-ahead touchdowns in the final 30 seconds. That is crazy. The other one was the Bears over the Chiefs, 28-27.
But, I mean, dude, you're talking about Caleb Williams. I don't think he had his fourth completion of the day until maybe the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
It was as disgusting of an offense as you'll ever see outside of a big DeAndre Swift play where they're able to get their touchdown on. But for the most part, it was just a total slot fest.
I think Caleb Williams has that Dak gene, you know? Fourth quarter comes on.
Yeah.
Here we go.
It's time.
When the game's just far enough out of reach.
You're going to claw with your fingernails to get just back in the game.
He's not doing anything with those fingernails.
I think I saw the stat. He was pressured 52% of his dropbacks.
Oh, I believe it.
In that game.
That's a guy who probably could have tapped his helmet and said, Coach, I need a breather. Yeah. He was running around all over the place.
Oh, true alpha. Not going to do that. All right. National Tight Ends Day was yesterday as well. And the tight ends balled out.
Hey, what did I say in the pregame show, Broadus? George Kittle is going to really appreciate the fact that it's National Tight Ends Day. He's going to wear this, and he's going to rock this.
He was the top tight end, 6 catches, 128 yards, a touchdown. In total, Tight ends had 177 catches, according to NFL research. 14 different tight ends had touchdowns. That's a single-day record.
You know, it really, this is, the run game stuff has been really, really bad, but like, this is, to me, the biggest indictment on Zimmer to this point. I mean, there's a lot of indictments to start games, to start second halves. You're consistently giving up points. But for your plan against a team that whose a lot of their skill guys were down, banged up, your plan for just go Donovan Wilson on George Kittle?
I said that. I was on a couple of different shows this morning, and
yeah,
that's the biggest criticism I have is during the week, you knew that their skill guys were compromised. Their wide receivers were compromised. And the one thing that you couldn't let happen was that Kittle beat you in this game.
Because, Kittle and Debo, the yeah. two guys to you, like,
you,
hey.
I mean, you felt like that maybe Debo, would there probably be some trouble there. But Kittle, you cannot go into that game letting George Kittle beat you. You just can't.
No. And they did.
Yeah. They did. At the end of the game, they started playing, you know, when they needed to try and get some stops, they started putting McQuamu on there. They put Lewis on him a couple times. You know, they were trying, but it was the damage had already been done.
Right.
That's an indictment of your coaching staff right there that you know, that one weapon, like I say, Bill Belichick, he would say this about playing Jason Witten. He goes, everybody else could beat me. I ain't let that guy beat me today. You know, and that's unfortunate right there.
I guess it could be worse. It could be the Jets. Jets lose again, and more just sad stats keep coming out for them. Jets scored 20-plus points, committed no turnovers, held their opponent under 250 yards of offense. From 1940 until yesterday, teams were 756-0 when they hit those three metrics. But the Jets lost to the Patriots yesterday, 25-22.
Wow.
There you go, Aaron Rodgers.
What a disaster.
Just a record breaker.
That's crazy. I thought Devontae Adams was going to fix everything.
I thought so, too.
I really did.
Shocking.
Thank you, Wolchuk. NFL News Today every afternoon, 3 o'clock here in the G-Pack Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
I think Robert Saleh is the big winner of the last few weeks, and then certainly like the biggest winner of the weekend. Robert Saleh sitting back going,
it wasn't me.
Any more words of Shaggy.
Join us Wednesday at Whataburger in Grand Prairie off 161. It'll be your last chance to get the 2024 G-Bag Nation flag. We'll hit the C-note, Cowboys news of the evening, and more takeaways from Cowboys defeat coming up next here in the nation.